Well, thank you. That's perfect. A perfect song, an intro to the Great Commission, that we can be safe with Jesus, no need to fear, that he'll be with us, and that we'll declare the gospel, the message of salvation. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for this passage in Scripture. And we get to open our minds and our ears and our hearts to the commission that Jesus, this great commission that Jesus has given to us. But I pray that we would listen, that we would respond, Lord, and that we would be inspired by your word. You know, not by speech or flattery, but by your word, which is living, Lord, and active. So we're here to meet with you, God. We're here to hear from you. Prepare us. We thank you for your message. Amen. So when Pastor Bill approached me about giving the opportunity to give the final message in 2017, I knew that one of the things we'd have to do is we'd have to look back at what we did in 2017. And hopefully we would look back and get to see the wonder of God. And then again, look how he's worked through Wood Village Baptist Church, as well as his global church. And then we would need to set our sights forward. And hopefully we would be inspired by looking at the past when we look forward. And maybe we'd be even more inspired by the end of today, by what we know God wants to do with Woodville Baptist Church in 2018. So I went to Scripture, as I always do when there's this big question, and to look and see, what does Jesus have to say? What does Jesus tell us that we're supposed to do as a church? And I know from reading Scripture that what Jesus wants from us is something big. It's something huge. As a matter of fact, actually what he's going to ask us to do and what he is asking us to do is impossible. It's impossible. Because if we look at the clear statement that Jesus makes about what our mission is at Wood Village Baptist Church, it's going to take us naturally to the Great Commission in Matthew 28. This impossible commission. And this passage should be well known, but hopefully it's never too familiar. Where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And simply put, this is the Great Commission to us, to every church. It's the mission of every church, to make disciples of everyone everywhere and to baptize them in the name of God. And then to teach them, these disciples, all that Jesus had commanded, to teach them to do. And I don't think we're alone in this, that this Great Commission, any church that takes seriously the gospel and what Jesus wants us to do, has incorporated somehow this Great Commission into their mission statement, their values, looking forward. So I thought it might be interesting to take a look at a couple of churches who are nearby, sister churches, and take a look at their mission statements. So let's take a look at Grace Community Church up there, making disciples. They've personalized it. Their mission then is simple, they say. It's to love God and to love people into discipleship, to reach people and to develop people, to make disciples through love. If we look at Good Shepherd Community Church, they're all about relationship. They make disciples through relationship. They bring people into relationship with Jesus. They have relationships with each other. They disciple each other. They reach lost hearts through relationship. And the point of theology, they say, the point of knowing about God is relationship. And then we go to Hinson Baptist Church. Some of you may know of Hinson. a little deeper to find it there in their articles. They say, hey, we're going to follow the ordinance of the New Testament under God's guidance and God's power and disciple members. So it's community. And then finally, let's take a look at Wood Village Baptist Church. By the way, how many of you have seen Wood Village Baptist Church vision and mission recently? That's good. By the way, it's on the front of your worship folder, part of it. So Wood Village Baptist Church, we've personalized the Great Commission ourselves, haven't we? Right? We say we teach the Bible and we care for people. And that's the practical aspect of making disciples. We're going to teach people about Jesus and we're going to care them. We are going to love them into the kingdom. Okay? And then this mission statement, following the vision statement, kind of focuses a little bit more on how we do that. And it says, we're going to do that. We're going to facilitate this accomplishment of this vision to teach the Bible and care for people. We're going to do that in the community near our campus. And we're doing that. Okay? We're going to do that in each of our neighborhoods. We're going to do that in the places where we work and where we play, in our schools. And we're going to do that to the very end of the planet. I love that. It's impossible. It's not possible. Maybe. But I love that bold statement because that's what Jesus says. And this commission, it's also in other parts of the Bible throughout. You know, maybe in little different words, but if we look at Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Luke says it there. He says, you're going to proclaim my name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and you're going to be witnesses of these things. Now, witness is a term we see a lot in the Gospels. Basically, think of yourself on a witness stand. You know, somebody grilling you about Jesus. You're going to tell them about Jesus and about the gospel. We're witnesses. We tell people. And then he goes on to say and bring it to more of a conclusion in Acts 1 where he says, you're going to stay here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and gives you power. And then you're going to go out to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and guess what? To the ends of the earth. It's impossible. And then in John, by the way, probably the Great Commission exists more in the Gospel of John than anywhere else, where Jesus is constantly telling them about the witness, to witness to him, and about his witness to God. He's going to say, as God sent me, I'm sending you. The mission of every church and of everyone in the church is to communicate the life of Jesus and to birth and to train his followers. So we should take a little bit of a closer look at this passage so we can understand how it really fully ought to impact our lives and our family in this church. So if we go back to Matthew's gospel, verses 16 through 20. We're going to see that this is actually the climax of Matthew's gospel. It's really a synopsis of what Jesus has been teaching. It's a new beginning in verse 16. These 11 disciples, now they've gone to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. That's what Matthew says. So here the disciples, they're meeting the resurrected Jesus really for the first time as a group of 11. And here in this meeting with Jesus, the earthly limitations of Jesus, they're gone. He's the risen Lord. He's the conqueror. And the consummation of this story in Matthew is going to take place where it all began. The end is a new beginning. And that's in Galilee, where in chapter 4 he reminds us of what Isaiah said in chapter 9, that in Galilee of the Gentiles, they have seen a great light. And it, with this shadow of death on them, a great light has dawned. It's this new beginning. And this meeting with the disciples, it takes place on a mountaintop, which we come to expect in the Gospel of Matthew is a place of incredible revelation on the mountaintop. We remember that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' revelation of righteousness in the kingdom. But amidst this, as these disciples come to greet Jesus in verse 17, it says they saw him and they worshiped him, but some doubted. So they worshiped him, so it suggests that they recognize this is the resurrected Jesus. This isn't the resuscitated Jesus, right? This is the resurrected Jesus, right? But there's still some doubt, there's some vacillation there. And wouldn't we expect that? I mean, these guys have been through a lot. They've followed him for 3 years. They've given his life to him, to his promises, right? And then before them, he is tortured and he is executed. And they actually don't know he's coming back. But then he returns and they meet with him. You know, I think the contemporary psychological term for this would be cognitive dissonance. It would be hard to absorb that. Of course, there's some doubt. There's some hesitation. You know, the Messiah wasn't exactly what they expected. Matthew's gospel makes that very clear, because even John the Baptist had to ask, "Are you the one? Or should I wait for another? Or should we expect another?" Even John the Baptist had his doubts. So we see these men, they're facing the risen Jesus, fluctuate between worship and indecision. They have faith, that's clear. They wouldn't be there without that faith. They wouldn't be worshiping without the faith. But the faith had not yet been put into action, where they would get to see the grace and power of God at work. And to step out in faith would require a mental decision. And that's what every disciple of Jesus has to face. You and me. And what we need in this moment of indecision and maybe doubt and lack of confidence is the knowledge that Jesus is Lord of all and that he's present with us at all times. And it's to people like the disciples and like us, you and me, who are far from perfect, who have our doubts, that Jesus gives the commission to make disciples of all the nations. Because his commission is framed within this comforting promise and fact of his power and his presence. And that's how the impossible becomes possible. So in verse 18, Jesus says, Matthew says, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Notice how Matthew arranges this moment with the disciples. Jesus takes the initiative to reestablish this intimate relationship with them. It's been broken. They're fragile. But he doesn't rebuke them for their disloyalty or their doubt. And they were disloyal. And they did doubt. But before he commissions them, he says something very important. He asserts his authority. The Father has given him the all-inclusive authority over creation. And his resurrection, his very presence with them at that time, that was a vindication of everything he had told them, of all of his previous teaching, all of his words, and all of his deeds. He was there. He was resurrected. He is a new order of existence. Something entirely new has happened, something that he promised, and something that anticipates his glorious exaltation to the right hand of the Father. with all power. And this something, this new creation, this new order of existence, anticipates the disciples' future glory of life forever with their Creator. It's something new. And if we jumped ahead to 20, we'll see the rest of the promise. And behold, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. And he promises not only his power, but his presence. The promise of God to be present with his people. The promise of the Messiah who lived the life of a man, who understands our life, who understands our suffering, who understands our temptation, our emotions. He is here always. It's a fact. Unseen, yet present to empower us and to fulfill us for the mission that he's given us. Making the impossible possible. So therefore, in verse 19, he says, make disciples. And it's Jesus' authority and his presence that will empower his disciples to make disciples. And a disciple is a learner. A contemporary term that we might want to use would be apprentice. Making an apprentice of Jesus. One who is not just a student and just a learner, but actually someone who is committed to the Master's teaching, to follow and obey. And this command that he says to go make disciples, these apprentices, has three additional imperatives. And he begins with go. Jesus says go. So we, his disciples, we are to go ever where there is someone who hasn't heard the message or where someone needs to hear it again. We are to leave our sanctuaries and our places of security and to go, well, to go where we're not welcome. Go beyond our places of safety to teach and train and nurture new disciples. That's the call. We are to go. And then we're to baptize, he says. We're to baptize disciples. And there are two senses here to baptism that I see. First, we're to physically baptize new disciples. We're to dip them in water and bring them up. Right? So are we to expect as a condition for one who receives the grace of God, a new life, a new heart, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that they would tell the world about this gift through baptism in the name of Jesus? Yeah. The second, baptism also carries the meaning that we are to immerse disciples in everything that is Christ. Immerse them into life and fellowship, into teaching, into repentance, and into love. The life of a disciple, that immersion. And then finally, he says, you're to teach. We're to teach these new and old apprentices that Jesus' command was to teach them to do as he commanded. And this is what Jesus taught on the famous Sermon on the Mount. He talked about this life of righteousness that's the life of a disciple. And the life of a person that marks them as a disciple is a life to obedience to Jesus' teaching. It's not just here, it's here. And because he's going to say things that are tough. The Sermon on the Mount, you know, don't murder. But you know what? If you are angry with your brother, you're guilty. You know, or if you're going to God to sacrificially offer a gift, but yet your brother has a beef with you over something, don't offer your gift. Get reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. He says, the law says, you know, you're to love your neighbor, it's easy, and hate your enemy. But he says, no. He says, I tell you, you're to love your enemies, and you're to pray for those who persecute you. And then don't be anxious about the daily things of life. Have no anxiety about that. You know, just keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on God and His kingdom. And God will care for you. And then he finishes the Sermon on the Mount with a scary warning. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We're to teach disciples to understand Jesus and to follow him. And this is a long and arduous task, to make apprentices of Jesus. That could take many years. And the first key to making an apprentice is to do what Jesus did, and that is to teach by doing. I must be the first to go and make disciples. I'm to baptize them, to teach them to follow and to obey Jesus, and to do those things myself. This is my mission. This is my responsibility. And really, only we can do this. Because it takes a disciple to make a disciple. It's our mission. But we have to move beyond our fear and our comfort. We have to move beyond the classroom and take disciples out into the classroom of the world. We will have to visualize our lives and the lives of our kids, our homes, our places of work, and our places of learning as mission fields, as a priority. We will have to think and act always as missionaries. And I love the quote that I have at the top of my notes there from Warren Wiersbe in his commentary on Matthew, where he says, Christianity is a missionary faith. And God is love, and he's not willing that anyone would perish. And that should be our heart. So as we leave the Sermon on the Mount and we look forward to 2018 as Wood Village Baptist Church and backwards at 2017, we should see that God has opened many doors for missionary work to this church in our neighborhood. There's been no shortage of opportunities. I think everybody knows that really our neighborhood outreach, it's expanded beyond our expectations. It's expanded in ways that I'm not entirely comfortable with. You know? It's challenged me on my sense of security, control, and ownership. It's in God's hands. Our Awana program, it continues to grow. New kids and new families who are being taught the gospel and the message of Scripture, God's words. We get to preach to Cherry Park. Cherry Park, which is a elder care facility, twice a month. I affectionately refer to that as Wood Village Baptist East. And that's what it is. Our youth group continues to grow and expand. Sometimes it feels a bit out of control. We've expanded the opportunities to serve people within our church, you know, by welcoming home service projects. I think small groups are continuing at a healthy pace, and there's some growth. missionaries we support, they continue to do amazing things. A short conversation with Alex Smith this morning reminded me of that. And talk about a group of people who are energized by the gospel and by the Spirit of God. We get to reach out to people and help them back on their feet. We counsel those who we serve and who are struggling. And I believe as a church, we warmly embrace anyone that comes through our doors. And if we look closely, and I hope you're inspired by all that, there's no shortage of opportunities in 2018. There's a great need to focus on making new and better disciples in many areas. Ministering to young families, there's a need there to grow that ministry and help young families grow and strengthen their marriages. In marriages, we have some that are struggling and some that are in crisis. It's a constant area to work on discipleship and help and pray. There is more need than ever to disciple young people and prepare them to bring forward the gospel in the future. This culture is more confused now about the truth than in any of our experience. Faithful financial giving, especially by young people and young families, continues to decline. And we have new missionaries prepared to risk life and financial security to bring the gospel to the unreached. All of these areas are calling out to make disciples and to grow disciples. And in this, I want us all to be especially aware of the nature of the ministry of going. Last week we celebrated Christmas, the incarnation of God coming to earth as a man. Because our God, He is an incarnational God. And His ministry was to go to us, to roll up His sleeves and expose Himself to the worst that we could give. His ministry is incarnational, so ours must be as well. In 2018, we will have to go and make disciples. We're going to have to go where it's messy and where it's unsafe. And for many of us, this may take the form of praying. And that praying should be prayers that we as a church would have the heart to go and make disciples. And that is the first and most important thing that we need to do. And I see you, this first service, as performing that. Please, in 2018, pray that our hearts would expand, that our young people and our young families would go. For others, our younger families, like parents, may mean that they might have to reorder their priorities and take their kids on a journey to go, to teach them to take risks for the gospel. Because if parents don't do it, who else will? Or grandparents, will you disciple your grandkids? Will you teach them the values and the blessings of stepping out in faith? Young families, will you consider reordering your busy lives to serve outside of your immediate family? And make it a habit to give and to sacrifice for Jesus and His church and the lost. And in doing so, prepare your kids to do the same. And then to our young people, I pray that they will make it a practice to serve others for the sake of Christ, to order their decisions this year and their future plans, not around financial and personal success, but to be missionaries wherever they go. And one more thing. Ministry is never created by pastors, elders, and leaders. Ministry is created by God. So our ministries of 2018 will be defined by God. And I know this, that all the ministry and all the serving that we do, everything was once a time a spark placed inside of the heart of a faithful disciple who stepped out in faith, taking a risk to do what God asked them to do. And then, pastors and leaders, we get to help. At best, we're guides and encouragers. It is you that originates ministry by the Spirit's call upon your heart. And I have a brief story about that. A woman in this church who struggled for years with her own brokenness, you know, relationships, who went through and sought out Christ and how he could change her, and found this ministry called Refuge at Imago Dei. And in this brokenness and uncertainty and doubt, God put on her heart that Wood Village Baptist Church needs a ministry like that. And for 3 years, she prayed and she wrestled and she struggled with doubt and her own insecurities, but she trusted that Jesus, what he said, that all power is given to him and that he is with us. She trusted that. And today, we have a ministry called Refuge, where we reach out to people who are struggling, confused, and hurting, either in relationship or personal life. And that ministry has incredible potential to do the healing work of Jesus. And I know some of you know about that. So that is where ministry is made, in the hearts of God's disciples. And it's the authority and the presence of Jesus that will equip Wood Village Baptist Church and its disciples for that awesome responsibility in 2018 to make disciples. So I ask, at this last service of the year, will you pray and join us this year to respond to God's calling upon you and your families? And then we'll watch and we will wonder as we see God make the impossible possible. Father, thank you for making the impossible possible. If it was up to us, Lord, it would be too big of a wall to disciple all of the nations. Impossible without you. But Lord, you've granted us the promise, or rather, the fact that you have all power and that you are with us. And you're here to guide and you're here to comfort and you're here to give us wisdom and discernment. And we need that, Father. I pray this year, as we look into 2018, that if there's a call on any of our hearts, first, if that call is to just know you personally through Jesus, that we would respond, that we would have the courage to take that step. And for those of us who have committed our lives to follow you, if there's that one step, that one nagging small voice in our heart, that we would step towards it and be reminded, Father, that Jesus, you're with us, and it's you who have the power. Lord, and then we will step out and we will see your power at work. I pray that for this church. Guide us. Help us to be wise. I thank you for the servants here, for the heart, and for the presence of Christ. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.